Would you make us strong to be one of the most influential churches in the world because of our praying? We know that Gideon's army was not very big, but they were serious about you and the task you had given them to do. Lord, may we be people who are serious about you and the task that you've given us to do. Even this vital ministry of prayer. Lord, we know that that is not seen often on a physical realm. But Lord, we do see it eternally. And very soon, all this veil will be lifted and we'll see you. And we will see that all of this work was not in vain. But you were building your church here and all over the world. So we do pray for your blessing on this hour. May it be special. Dear Holy Spirit, would you attend your word with power? I praise you that similar to prayer, the vessel means nothing. The person praying is simply a conduit. And so with preaching, I know I'm nothing. And yet your Spirit promises to use your word. And so I pray that he would in answer to that promise. Well, thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Very good. Well, let's jump in here into the text. And this concept of prayer, they were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Just a matter of introduction, we're going to just go prayer 101 here, because our church is made up of people in all different phases of spiritual growth, and I'm so thankful for that. Some of you are very new in the faith, and you may not pray at all, and you may be wondering, how do I pray? They were devoted, they devoted themselves to, actually, literally, the prayers. This is a noun in the original. So it's like the prayer times, probably, of that assembly. They're gathered at prayer times. But generally speaking, we expand that to be devoted to this concept of prayer. So I'm going to summarize prayer as talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. And that may sound simplistic, but if you think about it, you can go off by in a couple ways here. Prayer is not just being in a frame of reference, saying, I don't have a whole lot of prayer time, but I live in the spirit of prayer. I live in the attitude of prayer. And the Bible talks about the nature of being living with knowing that God, I'm in God's presence. But it's not the same as praying. I can be with Sarah. We can sit down and watch TV together. I can live in the same house. We can be together in the same bedroom and bed. And I can totally ignore my wife. Now, I'm with her in the presence. I'm in the spirit of Sarah. I have the attitude that she's near me. But I am not communicating with her. Well, that's communicating a different thing. And so I would say it's not just being in the attitude or framework. It is actually communicating. Now, it may be communicating in songs. It may be communicating in words in your mind. Communicating in speech. Talking. Maybe writing down your prayers. But it is communicating, verbalizing that idea to God. And then it's to God. It's not just talking, it's talking to God. It's this idea of just a spiritual person. Well, they're just such a spiritual person, and there's almost this acceptance of the idea of prayer in a subjective, you know, whatever you say has positive effect because you're thinking positively about it. And there's this popular idea of prayer that is not prayer. If you're vocalizing things to Buddha, that is not prayer. To Allah, that is not prayer. God is a specific, individual person. One God. Praying, worshiping any other God is idolatry. The Bible says it's idolatry. And so that's not prayer. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is talking to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as revealed in Scripture. We have to know Him. We have to be rightly related to Him in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And all the prayer is not prayer. It's not what we're talking about. And Satan will try to deceive people to think that that is what we're talking about. We're not talking about that. We're talking about talking to God. So another just introductory thought here. I thought this was important to develop just briefly for you. The Edmund Hebert says, prayer is the essential ministry of any Christian community. Right? This is a great book on prayer, Working with God in Intercessory Prayer. I like that idea, right? That the most effective means of service in the kingdom of God is prayer. So we have our ministry teams, we have outreach times, we have all these things we do as a church. But what is our most essential ministry? It is the ministry of prayer. Right? We can leave out activities, we can leave out special days, we can leave out a lot of things, but we have to be devoted to prayer. As a church, this must be essentially important to us. As I thought through the topic of prayer across the Bible, I was struck with the idea of things like this. I have so many books on prayer. I think what a lot of churches do with topical studies is they just think, what's the next thing we should cover as a church? And you always find probably 100 books written a day that talk about different Christian topics that are really helpful. And people recommend books to me all the time. And I'm not discounting that. I'm not discounting all of these. In fact, I would recommend you read this. But you know what? What Hebert's going to do, he's an exegetical preacher. He's going to just go through several texts on prayer. And he chose like 7 or 8 of them. But the Bible has so much more to say on this topic. And I just wanted to illustrate that for you. What we're trying to do with some of these studies is to be, as much as possible, comprehensive. And sometimes comprehensive doesn't sell. Sometimes comprehensive can be a little taxing for your thought process. And so what I'd encourage you to do is to follow me as we try to be a little more comprehensive with this idea. Because what happens is if you can choose what you want to look at in the Bible and what you don't want to look at, you become Thomas Jefferson. You're cutting out sections of Scripture just by ignoring them. You may find, oh, I love this idea of spiritual warfare. And you picked out the 3 things in the Bible to talk about, you know, wrestling with demons on prayer. And that's the only thing you talk about. Well, there is so much more to prayer than just that concept. Bear with me as we try to do this. And maybe I'll do this because most of us are coming from the video. But let's just take this for example. If we were to try to consider all that the Bible talks about in prayer today, we would want to cover a few different things, at least the types of prayer, right? The different type. You know, it's not just petition, right? You just think of all these different things. Intercession is the main thing we're going to be dealing with today. But you could talk about thanksgiving, right? You could just deal with what the Bible talks about thanksgiving in general. Confession, praise, right? There's all these different aspects. Every time we sing, we are often praying to God. All of these are prayers. And so if you think, well, what does the Bible talk about prayer? Holy cow, this is a lot. Move on from that. Examples of prayer in the Bible. Right? If you just think, well, how am I going to understand what the Bible says about prayer? You have to examine the people that pray in the Bible and what they prayed. You got Daniel's prayer. All the Psalms, Jesus' prayer. We're going to look at his pattern prayer here in a few months as we continue in the Sermon on the Mount. Paul's prayer is just packed with good ideas and good thoughts. And so really, if you think, okay, if I want to understand what the Bible teaches about prayer, I need to look at that too. You could also look up the word prayer and the word concept, so the Bible's teaching about that word prayer throughout the Bible. And you would need to do that all across the Old Testament and all across the New Testament. Words for prayer and what the Bible says about that. So what I did this week is I just took one little slice of this. And I just want to show you this to show you how the Bible is all about prayer. The Bible is packed. In fact, this goes back to what I say is a real good summary of the Bible. This idea of fellowship with God. Right? The fellowship was broken in the garden, and really the whole Bible is about how God's getting that fellowship back. And it really is these different conversations we have with God. It's really a book about prayer. And different individuals as they grow in their walk with God in prayer. So what we're going to do is just this tiny little slice, but look at it, it took my whole week. I was able to labor hard this week in the Word of God in prayer. Thank you guys for paying for me to do that. That is such a huge, high privilege. But it took all week. It is a lot of time just to think through this concept. Just one little slice. Right? And so I have that for you in your notes. And those of you who are looking on the PDF there, I put all the verses there for you. Because sometimes when we're reading, we look at the reference, but we skip over it. But this helps us think through the references. And I want to read some of these references for you as we consider what the Bible, just that one little slice, what does the Bible say about prayer in the New Testament with reference to teaching about that word prayer, the noun, the verb, the adjective, praying people. So that's what we're going to jump in here. We're going to answer questions. And so as I look through all these verses, just kind of saw there's some big ideas, some big categories that we can use to understand what prayer is for us and what we are to be devoted to if we're to understand the apostles' teaching about prayer. So, number one, what should I pray for? What should I pray for? The content of prayer. And as you go through these verses, you'll realize that a lot of it is giving instruction about the kind of praying I should be doing. What should I pray for as I pray for Paul, as I pray for Pastor Andrew? What should I be working through praying for? And this will be helpful for you. First of all, right out of the bat, Jesus says, pray for, and I almost guarantee you it's not on your prayer list, pray for your enemies. Matthew 5:44. But I said to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Luke 6. Bless those who, anyone know the word? Curse you. So as soon as someone curses you, they go on your prayer list. Isn't that interesting? Often we think, well, who's blessed me? I want to pray for them. The people who curse you are those who you pray for. You may not have many enemies, but people that hate God, hate God's people. These are people we pray for. Pray for what Jesus commanded in his pattern prayer in Matthew 6. And so we're going to really dive into this in a few months again. But pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pray for God's kingdom to come. Pray for God's purposes. Pray for your daily needs. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for freedom from temptation. So I just want to get real practically here. For those of you who have never prayed, or you're just starting praying, I really want our church to be a praying church. And so I think we just need to be very practical about this. And just say, if you aren't praying, I'm going to encourage you to start praying at least 5 minutes a day. And in just this petition area. Let's step back. Even just 5 minutes total. And so what would you do? I would encourage you to just start out saying, Father. You don't have to say that. You can say, Dear God. But Jesus often prayed to the Father, to his Father. I think we find him an example there. Father, thank you for today. And so you're praying now to God, your Father. Thank you for today. May your will be done in my life today. You just start out that way. If you're saying, what do I pray? This is how you pray. This is God listening to you. It's just talking to God. He hears you all the time. And if you've never prayed, or this is just something you're starting in your heart or out loud or writing on a paper, even if you want, Father, thank you for today. Help me to do your will today. That's may your kingdom come. And I'm just going to encourage you to do threes, okay? Thank God for three things that he's done for you. Start off thanking God for three things that he's done for you. Thank you, Lord, for the roof over my head, right? Thank you, Lord, that I can talk or think. Right? There's just so many ways you can do that, but at least start with three things. Jesus starts with a Godward focus in that pattern prayer. Then praise God for three things that he is. Three aspects of God's character. So thank you, God, that you're loving. Or thank you, Jesus, that you died for my sins. Or just praise him for three things that he is or has done for you. Okay? So thanking and praising, very similar. I'm really trying to get to thanking him for things that he's done for you, first of all. And then praising him for who he is, second of all. In his nature. And then thirdly, confessing three things that you know have been sinful. We forget about that, but I would encourage you to do that. As you come in petition, first of all, I just think no doubt you will find three things. If you haven't, you're not reading your Bible. But you will find three things that you need to confess as sin. And you don't just grovel in that. You say, thank you for the gospel that Jesus paid the penalty for these sins and help me to not live that way anymore. I repent of that sin. All right. So we're thanking God for three things. We're addressing him as Father. We're thanking him for three things. We're praising him for three things. We're confessing three sins. And then we're praying. Now we begin to the petition part of prayer. I'm going to say, ask God for three things for his church and his kingdom. Pray for three things for his church. Start praying, first of all, for God's things. Secondly, pray three things for others. Other people God's placed in your life. Because if you're not careful, as soon as you start praying, you'll start, Lord, oh, help me. And I'm trying to get us to get away from that. That we start praying, first of all, for God and others. So pray three things for God and his church. Three things for others. And then thirdly, then you start praying for you and your family. Okay? Three things for you and your family. And there you'll probably go on and on. And that's good. That's good. But let's start with those other things. Okay? All right. What do we do next? I know I need to move. Pray for children. Pray for children. Matthew 19:13. The disciples said, don't you bring these children to pray for them? And Jesus said, no, pray for these children. And he prayed for the children. Pray for troubles to leave. More on that in a minute. It's okay to pray that these trials will be lifted that you're going through. Jesus did that when he faced the Father's cup. Matthew 26:39. Pray for all the saints with all prayer for all saints. In this, we're growing in love and discernment. Have you ever prayed that for someone else? Pray that someone would grow in love and discernment. Philippians 1:9. This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Colossians 1:9 says a very similar thing. So when we're praying for others, I am tempted, as I pray for you all, to just say, Lord bless Deidre, Lord bless Charlotte, may she grow, those kind of things. And that's fine. Let's start with that, praying people by name. But what if we started praying, Lord, help Peggy to grow in loving discernment, to grow in her love so that she discerns what you want her to do today. Then Peggy's going to actually start growing in loving discernment, because I'm praying that as a Christian. She will know what God wants her to do that day as I'm praying. What about being a part of a church that everybody's praying for one another in that way? You will find your spiritual life will be easier because you're connected to the vine, which is connected to Christ, the other branches of the vine. Have opportunity to share the gospel. This is all over, and you see all those references. Paul said, please pray for me that an open door would be for the word to share Christ. Colossians 4:3, 2 Thessalonians 3:1, Acts 4:31, Ephesians 6:18-20. Right? Let's pray that Danny would have an opportunity this week to share Christ with someone. Pray, as you pray for people, right, we're not just focused on their physical condition. We're praying for these spiritual requests before the Lord. And the Lord grows our church as you're praying for each other to get to know people better and share the gospel with them. Pray that God will grow us in our faith to fulfill God's purposes for our spiritual life. God has a purpose for each one of us in a spiritual realm. Right, our spiritual giftedness, our place in the wall to build his church. And we need to pray for one another to have discernment to know what that is and to use it. To this end, also, we pray for you ourselves that God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith and power. That you will continue to grow in your faith in the work God has given you to do. Pray that we would live with a good conscience before God with honorable conduct, Hebrews 13:18. Pray that we'll have spiritual illumination to understand the blessings we have in Christ. Ephesians 1, a beautiful passage, but just that we would not be so caught up with the money stuff and the health stuff, the wealth stuff, all this stuff that we have to take care of. I realize that we have to go to the doctor, we have to pay bills, all that. But like there's just a little bit of the infinite wealth we have in Christ. Our spiritual blessings are so much, and we need our eyes open to all we have in Christ so we're content in Him. And so that's another thing we need to be praying for one another. Moving on to the next big idea, pray for salvation of those who do not know the Lord as Savior. And so as I'm meeting people, they're going on my prayer list to pray for those who don't know Jesus. Pray for healing. That's okay. Pray for healing. If someone's sick, we got to be praying, and we see the Lord's power to heal. Is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders of the church. They're to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Right? There's a confession of sin idea there in that context, but it's also praying for the sick. That is good to do. Pray for leaders of human institutions. We had a whole sermon on this just a month ago, a month and a half. We need to recognize our church has more influence in this world than any special interest lobbying group. Do you know that? We do. In one sense, it doesn't matter who is the elected official. In one sense, it doesn't matter because God controls them. And in that sense, you have more of a say. Now I'm not saying we should vote. We should do everything we can as responsible citizens. But those who are there, God has His way with them. Do not fret. This is beautiful. And honestly, I think since we've been really encouraging our church to pray for these people, I think we're seeing God answer. I see God's answer to prayers in specific ways. And so, let's see, Danny or Pastor Andrew, could you do this? We have these for those of you who are here. These are a list. Did anybody else, do you need these? I saw them on the back table as you came in. I mentioned when we were going through this and talking about Daniel that we would have this list. And so here's the list for you. Danny, that's a different sheet. This is a prayer sheet for everyone. Not everyone. I know it's not comprehensive. And George, you can help me with this. Here's your city council representative. And actually, this Representative Grace, if I'm not mistaken, I think I met her. In our community, I think she lives a stone's throw from here. I'm not absolutely certain on that because I may have met a different representative. This is maybe about a year ago. But let's pray that she'll be with us one day. So this sheet has all these names, and I do believe that our church, again, has more sway as we bring these names before the Lord in prayer. And so where you live, maybe I think some of these are different. I'm in Jamaica. So I may have a few different names, but I'll be praying for these folks too. Right. Hevesy has an office in the same building we do. So we're praying for these folks and asking the Lord to give them fear in the actions they make. And that's where I think we're seeing a little bit of that. That there's some accountability for some of these actions that people have made, and didn't seem like there was accountability for 6 or 7 months, whatever. Wisdom, right? Let's just pray for that. We can't complain that they're not making wise decisions if we're not praying that they will. Salvation. I don't believe any of these folks would confess or profess that they're a born-again Christian. I'm not completely sure about a few of them, but most of them would not profess that. Peace, that they would rule in such a way, and this is that verse above there, that there would be peace in our neighborhood, peace in our community, and the Bible says, for the gospel's sake, that we may have conditions conducive to sharing the gospel. So this is gospel praying. I listed all of the, we have this two-party system, right? And so these ideas go back and forth, Democrats, Republicans. And so I listed all the Democrats on the one side and all the Republicans on the other side for you to categorize that. That's a joke. The back is blank because we don't really have a two-party system here. Anyway, let's get back to the text here. So why should I pray? Why should I pray? First of all, because Jesus says to, our Lord tells us to, pray then in this way, he says, because the Bible says to, and I just want this to fall on your conscience, these verses, Romans 12:12, Be devoted to prayer. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. We got to move. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer. Not just that they were devoted to prayer. He's saying now you devote yourself to prayer. 1 Timothy 2, we're looking at with regard to praying for the officials, but he encourages us to pray for all men. As you pray, another reason, because you will be able to escape a temptation. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Now that context, their flesh is weak to fall asleep. But I think that's broadly speaking, it helps us if we're walking with the Lord to stay away from temptation. Because the early church made prayer a priority. We'll look at that if we have time here in a minute. But Acts 1:14, Acts 2:42, Acts 6:4. So how should I pray? A lot of the texts, as you consider the idea of prayer, answer this question. Don't pray to be recognized by others on earth. This is what Jesus talks about. Really, the whole of Matthew 6 is devoted to this. This is not something we broadcast to people. We encourage each other to pray. We give instruction about how to pray, but we don't tell people how much time we spend praying this week, right? And say, well, you know, oh boy, spent an hour and a half in prayer yesterday. Now, you may be very close to someone where you can say that and it won't be this, but rarely does that happen. This is what's special about this. Only God knows this. I think eternity will reveal that it wasn't Spurgeon. Right? It wasn't Wesley Whitfield, these guys that were spending their whole life preaching. It was folks that were praying. Preaching is so much more powerful with a praying church. God uses praying churches and pastors of praying churches. I want to be used. I pray, but I want our church to be praying every time I'm preaching. That's selfish, but it's not. I want this to be more than a social club. How silly if we just gather together like a tradition. We want spiritual work done every time the word is preached. As we leave and preach the word to one another, to our community, we need to be praying for that. Don't pray to be recognized by others. You have the reward in full. Isn't that convicting? But if you are giving yourself to private prayer, it's just a joy to watch God move mountains. Like, you know what? No one else knows that, but I do. I know what God was doing there. And it's very special if you develop that. Communicate as you pray. Not with meaningless repetition. This is not Hail Marys. That's what we're trying to teach this, right? This is talking to God. And so it's not even 1 Corinthians 14, as we'll see. It's not vain babble. Right, this is communicating in English, or if you speak Spanish, in Spanish, to your Creator God. Pray in faith, believing. Therefore, I say, all things you pray and ask, believe that you've received them and you'll be granted to you. There's this expectation of believing that God can do all things. I don't want anything that He does not want, but knowing that He can do all things. Pray as one justified. You're not coming to God saying, you have to listen to me. You're coming to God as, I really like the picture of the prodigal son. You've left the mud pie and you've come into the house again. You're like, I don't deserve to be in this house. But now that I'm here, you know, here's a few things. Thank you. Right? That's always our spirit. The older brother has earned all our righteousness. Not the older brother in that story, but Lord Jesus. Pray in a way that others understand. Pray with a heart that is, this is so important. Pray with a heart that has confessed sin. Not angry with others. Forgiving others. So many texts about this. 1 Timothy 2, pray with holy hands. James 5:18 talks about the prayer of a righteous person. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way that your prayers are not hindered. I think a lot of times our churches are not a praying church because there's sin in our life. There's unconfessed sin and we have no close fellowship with God. Confess our sin, repent of that sin, turn from that sin and talk to the Father. There's no reason not to repent right now, today, that your prayers would not be hindered today. And so perhaps we have a weak Christianity in America because we have an America that's steeped in habitual sins. Right? We confess those things and the Lord gives us victory over them and we pray. We're always dependent upon the gospel. Let me be careful here, right? We sin every day, and so we're constantly confessing sin. Pray with a forgiving attitude. When should I pray? Number four, Jesus prayed late into the night when all by himself. After the crowds went away, he went upself to the mountain to pray. Jesus arose early before everyone else and prayed. He stayed up late to pray. He got up early to pray. The idea is being alone. Listen to these texts. In the early morning, while it was dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to pray. Mark 1:35. After bidding them farewell, he left for a mountain to pray. Mark 6:46. Luke 5:16. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Luke 5:16. Luke 6:12. It was at this time he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. This is our Lord's example. Son of God, Son of Man, praying. Pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. Pray when in times of great distress. Is any among you suffering today? Then pray. James 5:13. Jesus prayed and asked others to pray for him while going to the cross. Right? This is so important, right? If you're going through a hard time, get another brother or sister with you and say, let's pray about this together. This is really hard for me. I can't face this alone. Early church prayed when under persecution, just constant prayer throughout Acts is facing that. Pray when facing a big decision or endeavor, like choosing an apostle, a pastor, teacher, deacon, sending missionaries out in evangelistic endeavors. They prayed before all of these things. And so we find a great example in the early church in this way. And I wanted to dig into this more, but I need to be done. Oh, boy. I want to get some feedback. Okay, so let's just take at least a moment with these. All right, I'll just try to take 90 seconds with each of them. What I wanted to do is then let's look at a praying church and look at the example of stories or scenes of what that looks like. And so we find that in the early church. Scene one would be the priority of prayer. I talked about this as we looked at being devoted to the apostles' teaching. So we'll do this quickly, but let me just remind us in Acts 6, 1 through 4. What would you say is if let's just say this week things get really rough the next month or two and some of the widows in the church really have no way to be fed. You know, and it's just really hard. I just say, you know what? I have no time to take care of their needs. I'm so sorry. I have to pray and be about sharing the word. This is what the early church said. It was so essential that they gave themselves to prayer, that they said we need to make sure the needs are taken care of, but the spiritual needs were more essential. So we see the priority of prayer there in that scene. Scene two, this is fascinating, and maybe we'll just open this up for a little feedback from you. I love this story. Acts 2:4-17. A trial comes early in the life of the church. Persecution regularly, facing death. James is put to death by the leadership, Herod at that point. He's put to death and he realizes, wow, people like when I do this. So he takes Peter. So it'd be similar to a church planter and then the current pastor kind of be summoned to the carpet. James, it just chops his head off real quick. I can't remember if it was execution style that way, but he's killed very quickly. Peter's taken and they're intending to kill him the next day. Right? So in their minds, you know, he's dying. He's going to die. Like, this is very difficult for this church. James has already died. So what are they praying, right? Well, look at this. Acts 12, verse 4. Put yourself in their shoes. When they seized him, they put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers, scores of soldiers here, making sure he is set in there, not escaping. When kept in prison, so Peter was kept in prison for him, but prayer was being made fervently by who? By the church. Right? The story's going all bad until that phrase. And that phrase, we know, this is Luke the storyteller. Right? He's cueing us in, but prayer was being made by the church. An impossible situation. They know the very next day this is going to happen, on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward. You have this amazing deliverance. Peter's sleeping. An angel says, wait, wake up. Come on, get your hat on, get your coat on. Time to get out of here. And he walks out. Chains fall off. The gates are open. And what does he do? I have a prayer meeting to get to, right? I'm late for a prayer meeting. So he shows up there. And I love this. An unexpecting praying church. They are praying. Praying for Peter. Peter came to himself. He goes to the door. And as they're praying for Peter, this servant Rhoda at the gate hears a knock. Who is it? It's Peter. No. It's Peter. Yes. Goes in and tells the group that's praying for Peter. Peter's at the gate. And they don't believe that it's Peter. They say, you have lost your mind. Now, I think that probably means Luke was there. I don't know. But he is such a good storyteller. I think he actually is painting a comical picture here, personally. That it is that unbelievable that they didn't believe that God could bring Peter there. They were totally, they did not believe that that was what God was going to do. Well, what does that teach us? Many things. Let's just open up here. We'll be done. But what does this teach us about prayer? What are some things it teaches us about prayer? The power of prayer, right? The power of prayer. Now, God can do things that are totally not expected. Totally unexplainable what he can do. Unbelievable. Isn't that awesome? The power of prayer. Any other thoughts?
Pray according to his will.
Okay, good. Yeah, and so we pray according to his will. He hears us. Pastor Andrew mentioned this in an article. All the commentators would say that they're praying for Peter's release. And Calvin does not, and Dr. Talbert, one of my great professors, agrees with Calvin here that they're praying for Peter to be strong. I have a hard time reading Luke and saying that's what he's saying here. It just seems like he's showing that they're unbelieving, and the way he's telling the story. And I do feel like, if I am going to be executed tomorrow morning, I really think you're going to be praying that the pastor has some release. I just feel like that's just a normal. Right, these are super Christians, but I think they do also have just a normal sense of, hey, you're wanting Stephen to not get stoned. You're one, you know, whatever. So anyway, they're praying for Peter, and maybe they're praying for boldness, but either way, they're not believing in one sense that God's going to actually bring them to the prayer meeting. Right? They totally do not expect that. Yet even in that, God works with their little faith. I'm sorry.
It just happened ahead of time. I mean,
amen. So it's not really dependent on our huge faith. Oh, that church had a lot of faith, so they're cool. No, it's an amazing God who works even through what we say, the faith of a mustard seed. Help thou mine unbelief, Lord. And he likes to use that. That's a beautiful thing. And also, that not necessarily answering the prayer as they were expecting, right? They weren't expecting this, and yet God did it. God answers prayer sometimes the ways that we're not expecting. I just want to apply this real quick to our church regarding our building. We mentioned this in our prayer time and in our members meeting. And I just want to remember this again. We don't know what God wants us to do regarding, like, we have a new lease in June. So let's just pray. I'm encouraging our church to pray for provision and for direction. Direction. Right? We don't know what God wants. We don't. But let's ask Him to provide, and let's ask Him to direct in such a way that shows His strength. And let's, of course, submit to whatever He would desire, but let's pray for that. And I'm encouraging you to pray fervently and even take a meal a week that you would set aside, and maybe you just eat a banana or you fast, and give that time to praying about our church in that light. The Lord would pray for direction, and that we would pray for direction from the Lord, wisdom, and pray for provision. The Lord would show His strong hand in that, okay? Can we do that? An amazing thing that the Lord prays for us. Even now. And so it's really comforting. You know, so we pray for wisdom and direction, but he's in all of that. Well, let's pray and we'll sing a closing song. Let me close us in prayer here. Ask the Lord to bless this challenge from His word to pray. And then Pastor Andrew, if you would close us in a song. Lord, we do thank You for Your word here. We thank You for how it encourages us to talk to You even now. And I would just ask, Lord, please make us a praying church, a more influential church in Your spiritual kingdom. And we know that a lot of people don't see that. And that's okay, Lord. We don't need to be seen. But Lord, I pray that each person in our church would start to develop this more in their life. That all the way from the nursery, whether that be little children or new believers, we would all be really developing this aspect of our walk with You. Lord, please make us sense this importance. Before all else, we would pray. As a church that seeks direction, give us wisdom and provision. But Lord, I just ask You to do what only Your Spirit can do. Because we're not guilting people into talking to You. It's such a joy. So You're so glorious and beautiful and in Your person and Your attributes that we would be remiss in ourselves if we didn't do this. But Lord, may You show and taste, help us taste and see that You are good. That we be drawn to prayer by a supernatural work. May even our children be devoted to prayer. Our teens, our college and career. May our folks that work really hard all day and then come home to more work be devoted to prayer. I pray that our retirees would be devoted to prayer. Lord, that those who aren't able to get out because of COVID complications would be devoted to prayer. Lord, help us, I pray, to Lord, for Your sake. We know this is for Your sake because You wait on Your church to pray. May this be a strong church of prayer. Lord, may we fulfill this example of being devoted to prayer, that we would be a grace abounding in prayer and believing prayer. We believe that You will do that. And delight in the fact that You've had us even consider these words today. Believing that You will do it. In Jesus' name, amen.